Yo, Jay, you ready to do this?
Oh, man, this is going to be a fun one today.
No intro.
No, straight into it.
No lube. We're going right in. Dry. Straight into it. The Birds in the Berg Football Podcast, episode 17. A lot of stuff going on around the league, Jay, particularly with your Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
Man, we did this, Monday?
Yeah.
And all hell is broken loose.
Yeah.
In the city of Pittsburgh.
It is officially the Mason Rudolph era in Pittsburgh. Big Ben is down for the year. Torn ligament in the elbow. He's getting surgery and put on the IR, and he is done for the year. What do you think, man?
Look, you're losing a Hall of Fame franchise quarterback who didn't look too great in the first two games, but maybe you blame it on elbow injury. Maybe not. I don't know. We're not going to make excuses. He didn't look good.
No,
but
he did not.
It's time to see what you have invested.
Absolutely. Third round pick
on this kid. They're speaking highly of him. We're going to go into what else happened, which really shows.
Yeah. We'll get into it.
Yeah, but it really shows that they feel they have something special here, so we'll see.
Yeah, so like we said, a lot of big news out of Pittsburgh, some other big news around the NFL. A lot of injured QBs, man, along with Ben.
Yeah.
You got Drew Brees going down with a torn ligament in his thumb. He seems like he's going to be out 6 weeks. Huge blow for the Saints. Yeah, and then Cam Newton's down, I think. They said he's going to miss this week with a foot injury. That's two big guys in that division that opens things up for the Falcons and the Buccaneers, it seems like.
Yeah, I think they officially said that Cam wasn't going to play.
Yeah, he missed practice today and was in a walking boot. So.
Yeah, I forgot who is the backup there.
Oh, God, I don't even know. I saw it. It's
Kyle
scrub.
Allen.
Yeah.
So they're saying he's more than likely going to play. Yeah, that's pretty much the big ones there.
I mean, the Breeze one is huge. You can't – luckily for them, that division might not be that tough now with Cam being down.
Yeah.
And then I don't think the Buccaneers are that great. It opens things up for the Falcons, and I know they beat the Eagles this past Sunday, but I didn't think they looked that great. Matt Ryan threw three interceptions, and they weren't anything special. So, you know, if the Saints can go 3-3 without Breeze, they'll still have a shot in that division. But –
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see if it's only 6 weeks for him. I mean, a ligament in your thumb healing in 6 weeks after surgery.
From what I heard, that's the minimum.
Yeah.
Like that's just, okay, this is when you could possibly think about start doing something with that hand.
Yeah, so.
So, and Breeze is up there. He's almost, what is he, 40?
He's close to it. He might be. So, all right. Other big news. The trade winds blowing around the NFL. Steelers obviously made the big trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick, but I want to talk about Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
He's been linked to the Eagles. Corners are a big need in Philadelphia. They haven't been able to get it right in years. I want to know what the hell Howie Roseman's doing. I would have made this trade 3 days ago with two first-round picks and whatever player they want on the team minus Wentz. I don't even care. Get it done, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to be the one to sit here and say you shouldn't trade anything for a defensive back.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is
– They want two firsts.
Locked down,
yeah.
Shut down, all pro at 24 years old. Yeah, you're going to have to pay him $17 million a year, but he's that good. You do it. You make this move. You put him on that Philly defense. He can lock down one side of the field, and then you can worry about what other shitty cornerback you're going to roll out there on the other side.
Yeah, but you're saying right now you would be willing to give up two first-round
picks. I'd give up two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. There is not anybody in the draft in the next 2 years where the Eagles will more than likely be picking that will be as good as Jalen Ramsey. The only problem with that
– You're more than likely not going to get a player
I mean, he's an all-pro. He's 24 years old. You make that move. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm praying it happens. I'm hoping I wake up Friday morning or whatever, because I think they said the trade might happen after Thursday night's game because he is slated to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, you're not going to see nothing
or
today.
Tonight, I guess, by the time you listen to this.
Yeah.
So hopefully by Friday, he's on his way to Philly to sign that big, beautiful new contract and be ready for their Thursday night game in Green Bay.
Or their Sunday night game.
No, he can't play. I saw the thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if he plays on Thursday night, there's like a rule the NFL has that if you're on somebody's 46-man roster, you can't then play the same week. So, I mean, I would know that. I guess that would also be considered a safety issue if the NFL wants to be all about safety as well. So, all right, let's go into our game previews. That was just a few news and notes from around the NFL. Oh, I guess you want to talk about the Minka trade?
What happened? My son's
sleeping. I can't get too animated here. Me and you went at it earlier a little bit.
Yeah, so this might be the last
basically,
episode.
I'm going to say what I think it was. All right, I'm not saying Minka Fitzpatrick is a bad player. He is a good player, and he has the potential to be, I guess, a really good player. I just don't think it was smart of the Steelers to give up a first-round pick, which could potentially be a top 15, top 10 pick, depending on how good or bad Mason Rudolph is. I thought it was a little rich for my blood. Jay, convince me. Tell everybody why Minka Fitzpatrick was the right move.
Look, I completely understand everyone's opinions on this. It ranges from this is the greatest trade in the history of the NFL to the Steelers should sell the franchise. Homer Steelers fans saying that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody who with knowledge of the game is saying it's the greatest trade in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I've heard it from every angle that it's great and they should move the team. It really jumps around. There was a couple other picks that were in there. I do not have that information off the top of my head.
A couple of them are conditionals. It's basically a first round for Minka. They're swapping late round picks here and there that don't really mean much.
Look, I like the trade. I do like it where they're sitting now because the biggest thing to me, it shows they're not folding on the season. And I know how you feel. Ben's gone. You're giving up a first round pick. The season's over. I don't want to root for a team like that.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that point. I'm just the thing that got me most about it is you this guy has to come in and he has to be a playmaker for them. He has to be, I don't want to say like an Ed Reed type or an Earl Thomas type because there's not those guys around, but he needs to be making impact plays like that. At some point, when you give up a first-round pick for a safety, it's not a premium position in the NFL. Yeah, you want the secondary and stuff, but if he was a lockdown outside corner, someone like a Jalen Ramsey or a step below, obviously, I would feel more comfortable. I just thought a first-round pick for safety was a little too much. That's where I kind of come in.
I completely understand that, but this is what they needed on that D.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest thing that pushed this trade through, and even Tomlin admitted, was Sean Davis was placed on IR.
Yeah, I saw that.
His torn labrum and shoulder. I think this is more than likely the last time you see him on the Steelers.
Oh, absolutely. You don't trade for Minka Fitzpatrick and then keep him
around.
Yeah,
I mean, you could possibly bring him back as your backup.
He's not going to want to. He's going to try to go out and.
Yeah. He's so definitely going to chase the money because he's in his fourth year now. He's a second-round pick, so there's no fifth-year option. So this is a contract year, unrestricted, so they're going to let him walk.
Yeah.
So making this move really is, okay, now we don't have to get a safety next year. You don't have to get a safety in that first round.
Well, you don't have a first round.
No, you're right. You're right. But this is like he's a second-year guy. He has four more years on his contract. He's really low money. He's going to make $5 million over the next 3 years altogether.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a terrible move. Minka Fitzpatrick for a second-round pick, I'd be in love with. I feel like that'd be a steal.
Dude, I would be so happy with that.
It's scary. The thing that makes it even scarier for the Steelers is you don't know what Mason Rudolph is. You want him to be great. You think he could have the potential. He was a third-round pick. But there's been a lot of third-round pick quarterbacks who have not panned out. And after a few weeks, you know, look like they don't belong in the league. So we still don't know that yet about Mason. And if he does flame out, that is a potential pick that you're missing out on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And if it does end up being a top-10 pick, this trade looks worse.
Yeah.
But there's always it. Look, this is a good young team. They have the pieces there. They haven't looked good in the first couple of weeks, but the Steelers
on defense. I'm more worried about the Steelers' offense.
I am too. I'm saying on both sides of the ball, they haven't looked good.
Oh no,
in the first couple of weeks, but they always start slow. Even last year with Ben, Antonio Brown, Juju, who had a monster year. They tied with Cleveland.
I get that.
The first.
Right? You start slow, but now you don't have Ben to fall back on. You don't have Antonio Brown. You don't have – I mean, you didn't have him last year, but a Le'Veon Bell. James Conner hasn't been lighting the NFL up the first 2 weeks. You never know.
Yeah,
I do agree with you. It gives you something to root for and for the rest of the year, because if not, it's pretty doom and gloom with the loss of Ben.
And yeah, that's a scary thing, because like I said, you lost your franchise guy there. But
yeah,
this thing with trading for Fitzpatrick, it's not you're coming in to help us this year, and that's all we need from you.
He's got 4 years left on his deal. Yeah.
And
he's relatively cheap. Well, so
if they can turn around this defense and he starts playing at a high level, because they already said he's going to strictly play free safety for the next couple games at least, and then they'll start moving him around, because last year he was the number one slot corner. So he's comfortable in the slot too. But you got Mike Hilton there. We need a guy who can play free safety, can come up in the box at times. He's a great tackler. They already showed that he can break up the ball on deep passes. He's a great coverage guy when you ask him to do that. So I don't hate this trade. I really do like it. I guess the one biggest minus with it is he didn't play much safety in Miami last year.
No.
Miami had him bouncing around. That's one of the reasons he wanted out, because he wanted stability in his position.
Yeah, because they also had him lining up as like a nickel linebacker.
Outside, back linebacker, safety. They had him all over the place.
We'll see. I think, like I said, I think he's a good player. I thought the compensation was a little high, but to each their own.
Yeah.
We'll find out this week. We'll also find out with Mason Rudolph this week. It starts in San Francisco. Jay, preview. Mason Rudolph, his first game starting. Steelers haven't looked good. What's going on in San Fran?
Yeah, so 4:25 kickoff at San Fran. 2-0-2 Steelers at the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers. 2-0.
The 49ers are not that good.
No, they're not. They're not. right now, 49ers are 7.5-point favorites.
Really?
In that game, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You got a secondary guy coming in, you know? Last week, 49ers beat the Cincinnati Bengals 41-17. Not shocked by that. I didn't think since he was going to be that good this year anyway.
They looked pretty good week one. They almost beat Seattle, who beat you guys.
Well, yeah. Not saying we're
crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I just don't know. Like, since he looks
good. They're dealing with injuries too. Mixon's banged up.
I don't want to hear it.
Why?
Yeah, you will get to that. Anyway, go ahead.
Jimmy G, handsome Jimmy G, so far in the year, 463 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Looked pretty good. Couple missed throws here and there, but that's what Jimmy G does. He's
a game manager.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Jimmy G at all.
I think they have some underrated receivers. Goodwin is a really good receiver.
Like Goodwin.
I think. And Deebo Samuels.
It's been looking good.
I love this kid coming out of college.
Yeah.
And I think he's a game changer for them. And then you have one of the best tight ends in the league, George Kittle. Scary player.
I was going to say, what's the Steelers' plans on stopping him?
Here's a weird stat for you. Over the past 18 games for the Steelers, they've given up 1,000-plus yards and 71% completion rate to tight ends. They get tortured.
Yeah.
By tight ends. So you asked about the tight ends. One of the matchups I have to watch is going to be Devin Bush versus Kittle.
I was going to say, this is exactly what you drafted him for. Yeah. This is why you move up and take that kind of guy
last week,
the 10th overall pick.
Last week he got burnt for 2 touchdowns by the tight end.
And he was benched last week, right? He didn't start the game.
He didn't start the game, but Vince Williams got hurt. More than likely Vince Williams not playing this week again.
How concerned are you over that? Your top 10 pick.
Young kid, dude. It's 2 games and young kid. He plays fat. Look, I'm not comparing him to what Shazier became. But when Shazier was...
paraplegic?
Wow, Jesus Christ.
Sorry. All right, go ahead.
You're welcome for that softball.
You threw that one right up. All right.
Shazier, in his first couple years, played too fast.
Yeah.
He overran a lot of stuff, and that's right now what's happening to Devin Bush. He's biting on a lot of the play-action stuff, the inside runs.
And sucked up.
Yeah, he's just getting – and then the tight end's just going right past him, and it's too late. And the other part with that is we didn't have a good safety over top. I think Fitzpatrick comes in and helps that because he's going to play his part there. I mean, you had – first game, you had Cam Kelly, who's – and then Sean Davis was banged up too. So you can't really rely on the help over top. But now he has a guy that could potentially let him, if he bites on something, you might have a guy there that could stop it. Okay. Some of the keys to victory for me in this is the run game needs to get going. They have to establish the run. You have a young quarterback in there in his first NFL start. You have to get the run game going.
Yeah.
You can't have this – 6 runs in the first half.
Yeah, you can't have them sit back there throwing the ball 45 times this game.
I get the Patriots game was the Patriots game was an anomaly because you just got blown out of the building.
Yeah.
In the first half.
If you have to throw the ball because you're down, that's one thing. But they need to control the ball.
Yeah.
And to do that, they got to run it.
You have to get the run game going. If it's all 3 running backs in and out, cool. That's what you have to do. The offense has to keep the defense off the field more. They have to get more first downs. A stat I heard was, I think it was either this last game or total so far, the defense has played 77 snaps, which is outrageous.
Yeah.
How high that is. I mean, the defense looked good in the first half last week, and then they just got tired.
Yeah.
They just got worn out. And the D needs to get pressure. If you get pressure on Jimmy G, he's going to make mistakes. That's what he does. He's going to throw some picks. So I guess a couple of the other matchups I had was Mason versus the world. He's got to come out. He's got to perform, man.
Versus the world.
That's what it is. It's Mason. It's his show now.
Yeah. That's...
You don't have a veteran behind you. You have Delvin Hodges. It was a camp phenom, but you have Delvin Hodges behind.
A camp phenom?
Yeah, camp phenom, bro.
Oh, I hate you.
That's my next t-shirt.
Yeah.
Delvin Hodges. Camp phenom. You don't have the luxury of saying, oh, Mason, this isn't your game. We're going to go to the vet. You don't have that. So it's Mason's show. No matter how bad he looks, it's his show. Steelers offensive line versus the D-line. The 49ers D-line is good. And their front 7 is really good. Bosa's a monster. I think they have 7 sacks so far to start the season.
Wow.
So they can really get after the quarterback.
Get after QB, yeah.
Villanueva is going to be on Bosa, so this is going to be a time for the left tackle to prove what he can – if he's one of the top ones in the league. That's definitely something to watch. And then the last thing I got is Richard Sherman versus Juju.
Ooh.
Sherman's older. Still good looking matchup. Good, though.
Yeah,
he's still, and Sherman's going to follow him all over the field. So
Juju needs to step up.
He does.
This is kind of Juju's offense now. I mean, if you think about it, he
has to be the playmaker,
the lead receiver. I mean, I know he's a young kid, but he's been in this offense a few years now. He's got to really help out Mason Rudolph, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like you said, Connor, too. He's got to really step it up because he hasn't been
playing great. I mean, with Connor, look, when he's had the ball, he's looked good. He's made some cuts. He's got some yards that he needed. It's just the offensive calling was so bad. But I think now – and the one thing with Ben that a lot of people didn't realize was Ben hated using play action.
Yeah.
He came out and said it. He didn't like turning his back to the defense. So,
because he was too fat to get back around in time. Yeah.
Mason Rudolph, he's good at that. You could some RPOs mixed in there. He ran out a lot in college. So,
he's running gun kind of offense.
He's
great
at the deep ball. That's his weapon there.
His coach was a man. He was 40 years old.
Oh, that's right. That. He was.
Mike Gundy.
Come after me. I'm a man.
I'm 40.
All right.
Yeah. Do you have a prediction?
No. No, I tried to write up one, but it's I can't put a prediction on this one. Because it's either going to be a close one and the Steelers are going to squeak it out.
I'm going to say 21-16 Niners.
Okay.
I literally just threw that out.
I saw a Steelers beat writer saying it was going to be 34-3
Jesus.
Niners.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be that bad.
I don't think so.
It might be a rough week for him. You never know.
It could be, man.
Out west.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, anything else?
No, that's all I had on that, man.
All right, then we'll go to the Eagles game. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff in Philadelphia. They are facing the Detroit Lions. They are 1-0-1. They beat up on – well, they didn't beat up, but they beat the L.A. Chargers. Yeah, they beat the Chargers last week 13-10. They tied the Cardinals in week one. Things in the game, I know Stafford, he's been inconsistent, but he's a good quarterback. He can be dangerous. This season so far, he has 5 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. The Eagles have given up a lot of passing touchdowns so far this year. So that's big. They got to be able to get pressured on Stafford and make him make a couple mistakes. I think he had 2 interceptions last week. And still, there's not much of a running game so far going on in Detroit. Kerryon Johnson is their leading rusher, and he's only averaging like 3 yards per carry. So they should be able to bottle him up. But knowing the Eagles, he'll come out and rush for 200 yards and have a career career game. The biggest threat for Stafford is Kenny Galladay. He had 8 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown last week. So, you know, like I said, the Eagles' secondary has been struggling. If they had someone like Jalen Ramsey, they'd be able to lock him up pretty easily. But they don't. So we got to hope that Ronald Burnt Toast Darby can step it up this week. They don't have any many major injuries. I think their starting left tackle and middle linebacker were a little dinged up last week, but they participated in practice today, so they'll be ready to go. Some matchups I'm looking for this week. I feel like I say this every week. It's the Eagles O-line versus the Lions D-line. The Eagles O-line looked like shit last week. They were getting pushed back. They were getting beat around the edge. Wentz didn't have a lot of time. He was taking some hits.
He got beat up.
Yeah, you could tell. It affected them. Yep. So that O-line needs to step up and keep Wentz clean in the pocket so he can make some plays and because he's down some receivers, he's going to have to make some plays this week. That's my next one. I'm looking for the young wide receivers versus the Lions secondary. The Eagles, I guess I didn't bring it up, the injuries. The Eagles are going to be without Alshon Jeffrey. They're going to be without DeShaun Jackson. They're going to be without Dallas Goedert. That's 3 of their top 5-6 pass catchers on the team.
I didn't know Goddard was out, too.
He's going to be out. He was out last week.
No, I know he got hurt in pregame, but yeah. I didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah, it's a reoccurring injury from preseason, so they're probably going to hold him out a few weeks, too. So we're down to some young guys. We got Matt Collins, who's in his third year, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who's a rookie. He's got to step up. These guys got to step up. They got to get some separation. They got to make plays for Wentz, and so I'll be looking for that. And then the D-line, the Eagles' D-line versus the Lions offensive line. The defensive line for the Eagles has 0 sacks. So, well, not 0 sacks. The defensive ends have 0 sacks so far this year. That needs to change.
Wow.
Yeah. They get pressure. They can't get to the quarterback. They can't bring him down. It has to change this week. You can't let Stafford sit back there and just pick him apart, which he will do. If you're not getting in his face, he'll do that. All right, so my keys to victory, I just talked about the young wide receivers. If they play well, the Eagles are going to win this game. If they come out and they looked kind of shitty last week, they won't. The running game, I believe the Eagles need to they need to switch something up front. They need to be more aggressive running the ball. They kind of just get away from it. I think if they come out and decide to run the ball, it'll take pressure off of Wentz. It'll take some of the pressure off the receivers because they'll put more in the box. and that'll give them, you know, a chance to win the game. And then another thing I saw last week that I really liked, Jim Schwartz, because he couldn't get pressure with that D-line, was blitzing a lot, and he was being creative with it, and they got to the quarterback a couple times. I want to see more of that. I don't want to see them. Yeah. If they can't get to Stafford with the front four like they haven't been able to all year, I want to see them blitz. They need just be creative. Make them make some mistakes. Get some guys in his face. So,
yeah, but especially how many guys are out on your line, too.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it's a smart move by him.
So, we'll see. All right. Now, I wanted to go over this because people were – this is, I guess, another key to victory maybe, or just part of my prediction for this game, is that people were trashing Wentz last week. Yeah, his first half was abysmal. It was terrible. He had a QB rating of 6, I think. One of the worst halves of football I've ever seen. But in the second half against Atlanta, Wentz was 19 for 27 with 184 yards and 2 total touchdowns. So he picked it up in the second half with new receivers, with guys he hasn't been practicing with. This week he's going to have a whole week of practice with them. He's going to have them – in the game plan, you know what I mean? There's going to be plays dialed up for them. And then along with that, in the fourth quarter, he was 13 for 18, 135 yards. And then he had a 13-play go-ahead touchdown drive where he was 8 for 8 for 72 yards with a rushing touchdown. He also threw that touchdown to Aguilar that he dropped. It would have been the game winner.
So, did you see that picture of Ertz?
Oh, with his hands just
the
on
aerial
his
aerial shot.
Yeah. Yeah. He was all of us.
That's the Ertz is just standing behind. After he dropped, he just has his hands on his head.
Terrible. Like,
oh, you bum.
Aguilar needs to step up this week, though, too.
Yeah?
So.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. I picked him up in fantasy. Stone hands Aguilar. Hopefully he's going to have to make some plays.
He's either going to have a monster game or he's not on the roster next week.
Yeah, but that's why Wentz bounces back. That's one of my big keys to victory. Wentz is going to bounce back in quotation marks because he was already playing well in the second half.
Yeah.
He's going to be on page with those young guys. They're going to run the ball. The defense is going to play good enough and stop Stafford. I got the Eagles winning this one at home 24-17. I'm not 100% confident in that. You know, the slow starts, like we talked about, they need to change. The Eagles need to come out. You know what else I'm sick of seeing, too, is anytime they win a toss, they defer to the second half. Yeah, I know it's smart.
So many teams do that now.
Take the ball. I want to see them take the ball, drive down, score a touchdown, let's go. Get some momentum going and go out there, kick their ass, and win this game. They need this game because if they lose this game and are 1-2, they have to travel a short week Thursday night to Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers, who I'm pretty sure has humiliated us every single time we've ever played him. And to start off 1-3, not many teams come back from that. So this is a huge game. I think they're going to pull it off. It helps that it's at home. I think Wentz is going to be motivated, and they're going to get the victory.
I like it. Have they said anything about his ribs?
No. He had his press conference. He said he's fine. He said he got the wind knocked out of him, and he felt a little beat up after the game, but he feels good. Yeah,
he popped a couple times in that game.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's football.
No, that's
why you wear pads, man.
With that offensive line you guys had, I was shocked by how much he was getting hit.
Yeah, well, the Falcons brought it. They didn't have an answer for it. But the crazy thing is the Eagles still should have won that game, even with all the injuries and all that other crap.
And then
they should have won that
game. Julio Jones.
Not even. I wasn't even worried about that. They should have won after that.
It's true, too, yeah.
So, but, all right. That's all I got. We'll be back Sunday. We're going to record Sunday night, right? We both play early enough.
Yeah, we're
recording. So, yeah. So, we'll have our
Monday morning.
Our Monday morning pod for the reviews of the game. Hopefully, get a couple victories.
Yeah, and then we can put out the one on Thursday, too, because you guys play Thursday, so it won't even affect it.
Yeah.
So we'll be fine. Yeah, we'll be the usual schedule.
Usual schedule. Sounds good, Jay. Yeah. Let them know where to find us.
Yeah. Please like, subscribe, and review on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can get your podcast. Please go on there. Leave us a review. We'll read it on the episode, give you a shout out. Please follow us on Twitter, at Birds_Berg. Go to the Facebook page, Birds in the Berg Podcast. Talk to us on there. We are very engaging with our fans.
Yeah, we appreciate it too. We've had more people leaving comments and engaging in our polls and stuff. So yeah, we're going to keep trying to think of little things to put out content, and hopefully you guys keep
responding. I guess real quick, speaking of that, we put up a couple polls.
One was if the Eagles should trade for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and that was actually 50-50 with 16 votes.
Really? 50-50?
50-50, wow. Yeah.
Man, a lot of people don't know how good Jalen Ramsey is, I guess.
And then the other one was Mason Rudolph, the next franchise.
This one shocked me.
Of the Steelers. 72% said yes. 28% no with 18 votes.
I guarantee half those people didn't even know Mason Rudolph was on the Steelers until Sunday. So
it's just we said something about the Steelers and they vote yes.
Well, of course, yes.
So,
Mason Rudolph have herpes? Yes or no? Yes, of course. Yes. Wow. Hey, you heard it here first. I'm breaking news.
As herpes, I guess it's better than mono.
True.
So interact with us on there. We always give shout outs to fans that interact with us. So,
yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. Sounds good. That was the Birds in the Berg Football Podcast, episode 17. We'll talk to everybody on Monday.